You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For over a decade, the gray wolf has been slowly recolonizing Northern California after going locally extinct in the 1920s. The predator was first seen re-entering the Golden State in 2011, with the first pack confirmed by wildlife officials a few years later. State officials estimate there are at least 70 wolves in California today, but their return has also led to a growing number of attacks on livestock and conflicts with ranchers, which in one case cost millions of dollars. Today, we're going to hear some of the many perspectives on this issue. Tina Saitone is a UC Davis professor of livestock and rangeland economics, and Rick Roberti is the president of the California Cattlemen's Association and a rancher in the Sierra Valley, located in Plumas and Sierra counties. Welcome to Insight.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Tina, I want to start off with you. What got you into this field of research?
It was actually back in 2021 when the California Department of Fish and Wildlife announced that they were going to develop a wolf livestock compensation program. And so as an economist, I became interested in the underlying research that could inform a program that would reimburse ranchers for losses, not only in terms of direct depredations, so kills of livestock, but also some of the indirect consequences, like lower weights at sale time and lower conception rates on mother cows.
How much research is currently out there about wolves and livestock and how they interact?
So there was a body of literature coming out of places like Montana and Wyoming following the 1995-96 reintroduction of gray wolves in Yellowstone. But when we were starting this project back in 2022, there was none available specific to the state of California. And so building on some of the antecedent literature in other places, we started researching wolves in the state to inform the compensation program in the future.
Yeah, that's a good amount of catch up. I mean, if nothing really existed in California just a couple years ago.
For sure. And now there are certainly other researchers and also agency staff engaged. But at the time, there was very little known.
Well, Rick, I want to bring you in. You are a rancher. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience with ranching.
Well, I am president of California Cattlemen's Association, but I've been a cattle rancher all my life. So this is a short time in my life of doing something a little differently. So we've grown up on the land. I'm a fourth generation. Ancestors came from Switzerland and settled in this valley that we live in. It's about 50 miles north of Lake Tahoe, where we've been ranching and farming there continuously for a long time. So there is no recorded history of wolves being in our area, either from our ancestors or Native Americans. So we question how widespread the wolf was in California, because it's really hard to get information on it. And the wolf that was here was eradicated, they said. So the wolf we have now is a little different. It's a bigger wolf. It's Alaskan gray wolf. So it's bigger and stronger. And so it's going to be more of a threat than we had with a wolf if it ever was here.
Well, given that you and your family, in terms of ranching, you go back generations. I mean, of course, you're always working to mitigate threats and challenges when it comes to livestock. What's different about wolves and the threat of wolves to your livelihood?
Well, other predators, we have a way of removing the ones who are threatening our livestock or us as our human safety. In this case, the wolf was put on the Endangered Species Act, meaning that there's nothing really we can do. And for the first few years, first 8 or 10 years, we couldn't even yell at it or haze it, even if it was eating one of your cattle or threatening. So it was a really vulnerable position for us to be in, and really tough mentally to be in this position, to know that you wake up in the morning, you're probably going to be robbed again, and there was nothing you could do about it, even though you know who the robber was. The wolf is different, not only because it's a bigger wolf, but it also has never been threatened. For generations now, these wolves have grown up without someone scaring them And so they're used to being around people a lot more than they should be. And the other difference is that because of regulations in California, we've flipped the balance where we were short of predators at one time. Now there's more predators than there are prey. So there's not a lot for this gray wolf to eat. But our deer population and throughout California is very small. And our mountain lion and bear population is very big. So adding the wolf to the predator list is putting the wolf in a position it shouldn't be in and at a position a lot of people shouldn't be in. Mm.
Given that you also head the Cattlemen's Association, how big of a concern are wolves to ranchers in California?
Well, I'm going to say this, and a lot of people are going to say, that's in the wrong term. But I think of the wolf as a disease, not in a bad way, but a way to emphasize how it spreads. And it's like when someone has a disease, you're scared and you're worried about it. But until it hits you or around you, then you don't worry much about it. So this is slowly spread from Yellowstone, when they did put those wolves in Yellowstone, and they've slowly spread through Idaho and Oregon, and now it continues to creep. And so every ranch that gets hit is another ranch that experiences this problem for the first time. So it's brand new to them. Others have been dealing with it for years. But even in states that have had these wolves for 20 years, they're still asking a lot of the same questions and not getting a lot of help, because the law written is so difficult that even our officials can't do much about it.
Yeah.
Or at least they say they can't.
Okay. So there are going to be some people who are going to hear the word disease and be offended by that. What would you like them to better understand?
Well, I think they need to, every story, especially this is politics. It's not just a wolf. It's one side or the other. It's good or bad. And they've tried to make ranchers out to be the bad guys. And it helps their story because it helps them justify the fact that this wolf is back killing, saying it's probably okay because the ranchers are one that eradicated the wolf in the first place, so wolves were here first. And a lot of those things just aren't true. I think they need to know that we're just people trying to take care of the land, and now all of a sudden we've been interrupted in a very harsh way, and we don't want to get rid of the wolf. We're not going to get rid of the wolf, but we like to understand the fact that the wolf shouldn't be here living among people. And there were people here 100 years ago too, which never saw the wolf. And the other thing is, if we put this wolf in this position where there's nothing else for him to eat, he's going to have to eat cattle. And if the wolf has to be here and only live off of cattle, then we're going to have a problem forever. Cattlemen would just like the right, like everybody else would like, and that is to protect our private property. The wolf is not endangered. There's tens of thousands of them in the United States. If we could start moving these wolves to their natural environment, we wouldn't have a problem. Ranchers are used to losses and challenges. That's just part of the business. Things happen every year. No year's the same between weather and disease and other things. So the wolf was another challenge, but most of the time we're able to do something about the challenge. And this one, we can do nothing. Mm-hmm.
Well, Tina, I want to bring you back in because you are the research arm of this. You also look at the economics of it. And Rick lives with the economics of it as a rancher, of course. But what would you like people to better understand? Because, of course, you have conservation. You have wolves are endangered. But then there is also an economic impact to ranchers and livestock. What would you like people to better understand? Because a lot of us don't directly touch this issue.
Sure. A lot of people hear that there is a compensation program for ranchers and then automatically think that it must be okay for wolves to be depredating livestock because ranchers are getting paid back. And I want to make sure that it is clear that that is not entirely the case. There are many economic consequences to ranching with wolves that ranchers are not compensated for. And so they are truly subsidizing the recovery of this endangered species. So they may get back the fair market value of an animal that they were able to have investigated and confirmed that it was killed by a wolf, by an official, essentially. But That is just the value of that animal. It does not compensate the producer for the time they spent at that investigation, the non-lethal deterrence that they had engaged in for months, maybe years, trying to create separation between their cattle and wolves. And it also doesn't compensate for the indirect economic consequences that I talked about. So the lower conception rates, the lower sale weights, and
Because they're
that's how
stressed.
ranchers get paid. Yes, exactly. So some of our research indicated that cows that are in the presence of wolves actually have 58% higher cortisol levels, so stress hormone levels, than cattle that are not in the presence of wolves. And so they do have higher stress levels. They're more vigilant. They spend less time grazing, less time resting. And so, it is harder for them to maintain weight, maintain pregnancies, and all of those things really hit ranchers' bottom lines. I'd also like people to realize that ranchers feel a great responsibility to the livestock that they are raising, and it is very challenging for them mentally and emotionally to see those animals killed and not in a humane way, right? So wildlife eating domestic animals is not a pleasant death for those animals, and that really affects ranchers' mental health in as well as their economic viability.
Yeah, I mean, Rick, as the head of the Cattlemen's Association, do you hear about that mental health toll among ranchers?
Yeah, we saw it firsthand, or I did, as I don't know how many ranchers called me, and by the time we were done talking and I had no answers for them because there weren't answers, you're 60 your stomach, and a lot of times they'd end up hanging up because they're just crying. These are grown men, strong men, but without any options but to let their cattle get attacked and eaten at night. So yeah, the mental health is a serious thing, and I worried this summer in our valley we had over 100 confirmed kills, and that means they were confirmed by a federal agent that skins the animal if there's anything left and says, yes, this was a wolf, or yes, this calf was dead before the wolves ate it. So we had a traumatic summer. I talk about it. The only thing that comes close to my mind was the COVID days when you were afraid to pick up the phone and find out who had it. So it was been a terrible summer. People tried. They tried several different things, and they tried round-the-clock game wardens to, and then they brought in drones to chase these three wolves that were doing most of the killing that was linked by DNA from most of the crime scenes or the calf killings. And then they finally did, with the help of the federal government, took out these three wolves. And I'll just start here by saying that there are good wolves and there's bad wolves, and most people don't understand what I'm saying, but one wolf we had was just obsessed with killing, and he couldn't be stopped no matter what the government did or anybody did. And so sometimes when that happens, they just need to be removed. And when I say removed, I mean if they can catch them and take them somewhere where they're not going to be harming somebody else, but they can't just be removed by taking them somewhere else because they can continue to do it. So it's common sense, and I'm afraid some of the other groups think if ranchers are allowed to start killing wolves that they're going to kill them all. And so we need to sit down in a room with all sides and just work out a compromise, because ranchers know that that's not going to happen, but we just can't continue with what's happening. And we've got some relief right now because they took out these three bad wolves, but it's going on in the North State from the Oregon border to Lake Tahoe every day. But the difference where I live is that it's big open fields, and we could find the dead animals, we could see the wolves, and so it was easier to detect those that were killed by a wolf. But it's a real problem going on, and the thing that's going to happen, they're going to continue to spread. And from witnessing it firsthand, it's nothing I want any other community to go through. It's changed our habitat. Our coyotes have gotten more aggressive. They didn't, wolves were supposed to chase the coyotes out. They didn't. The coyotes just learned that they could follow the wolves and get a free meal. And then the coyotes themselves became more aggressive, I think, from following the wolves. So it's going to change how things happen in the state. And I wish we could get some help real fast, so at least slow it down so that the wolves would learn to go to areas where they don't have to eat so many cattle, but they could thrive there and do a benefit. Right now, and I've asked this question to the state, what benefit can the wolves bring to our county? And the only one they said was tourism. Well, we have enough tourism because of what we have right now. The wolf's not going to help. So our deer population, as I'll say again, is so small. And our mountain lions we have walking down our small towns almost nightly because the deer that are left have moved into the small towns and they're hiding in there. And so that's bringing the mountain lions and the bears into town. So we've got a problem we need to deal with, and cattlemen are ready to do that. We want to continue doing what we do. What we do is good, but we need some help, and we need some awareness for the people that don't understand the issue. And right now it's a hard message to get out to the urban people that what's happening, because they're not in touch with my world and I'm not in touch with theirs. So we're going to try hard to do a better job doing that.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with UC Davis Professor Tina Saitone and Rick Roberti from the California Cattlemen's Association about wolf attacks on livestock in Northern California. Tina, I'm curious what you think about this, because we're talking to Rick, who lives in Sierra and Plumas counties. It is a very rural, beautiful area, but a wolf was just detected in Los Angeles County for the first time in 100 years. What stands out to you about this?
Yeah, so the population of wolves in the state has been experiencing significant increases over time and also over geographic extent covered in the state. Right now is breeding season for wolves. So biologically, wolves are dispersing from their home packs and looking for mates in other locations, which is typically why you're going to see wolves dispersing long distances like the one in LA right now. But certainly as wolf populations increase in the state, they are going to inhabit other locations. And what we've observed so far is that wolves are going to tend to essentially breed and have home ranges that coexist with livestock operations on typically private lands. So those are havens for all wildlife, birds, deer, to the extent that there's elk in those areas. Livestock producers are great stewards of the land and create excellent habitat. And so that attracts both prey and predators. And so I think we're only going to see, as populations of wolves expand, unfortunately, increased conflict in more of the state.
Where do you see a solution present itself? Wolves are here. They're an endangered species, but ranchers also, as you illustrated, are not being compensated properly for the losses caused by wolves. I mean, where's the right balance in all of this, Tina?
So I think there's a few things that we need to consider. I think first and foremost, ranchers need more tools. They're the individuals on the land day to day. They know their property, they know the habitat they're creating, and they know how to protect their livestock if they have the tools to do so. And so the state has a wolf recovery plan, and that's typically geared toward wolf population targets. And as we have more wolves in the state, ranchers are supposed to get more non-lethal hazing tools that would help them stop wolves becoming habituated to eating livestock. So if interventions can happen sooner, ranchers can create essentially negative stimuli that would keep wolves away from their livestock to the extent possible. We also need to develop a robust funding source for the compensation program. So as Rick said many times, and I agree with, deer populations are very low in the state. We have a very limited elk population. So there will, even with all the tools in the world, there'll still be some conflict with livestock. And when that does occur, Ranchers should be compensated adequately for those losses. And right now, there is not a fixed line item in the state budget will ensure that happening. Rather, it's negotiated every year. And, there's peaks and valleys in that funding source. And so that makes it also a very unstable economic situation for ranchers.
Yeah, there's just so much to talk about, Tina and Rick, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have. But we do want to continue this conversation. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Tina Citone is a UC Davis professor of livestock and rangeland economics, and Rick Roberti is a Sierra Valley rancher and the president of the California Cattlemen's Association. We've been talking about the impact of wolf attacks on livestock and ranchers in Northern California. Still ahead, a Roseville-based author has come out with a children's book inspired by her Japanese-American roots and the true story of her grandfather's incarceration at an internment camp during World War II. We'll learn about the history behind Shell Song. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.